going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The question of the draft, in my opinion, how far does Shedeur Sanders fall? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On a side note, Pearl and I just having a very robust discussion in the break about whether it's going to be fun to have the draft in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to look great. TV is going to be dynamite, but the boots on the ground, it's such a small city. Only 100,000 people live in Green Bay. Great people. 5,000 hotel rooms, 1,000 Airbnb, like other dwellings. You're going to have to be driving in from all over the place to get to this draft.
I think this is the number one draft location of all the locations. First of all, the smaller the city for an NFL event, the better. Like if Super Bowl was in New York, it was a disaster. Smaller, better. Indianapolis is ideal. But Green Bay has so much history there. You are in the shadow of Vince Lombardi. It has got to be the coolest venue.
Let's get the thoughts of our next guest. Not just this, but all of the draft prospects that we are interested in and more. His name is Steve Palazzolo. He is the host of the Check the Mic podcast on the 33rd Teams podcast network. And of course, for many, many years at PFF, which I mean, to be honest, like kind of changed football in many ways in incorporating analytics in the way that you guys did. Steve, Maggie Perloff, thanks for the time. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
What do you think, Green Bay? You want to be there? Is that the best location for a draft?
I mean, I'm never on location for the draft, so I don't really have a strong opinion. I'm always remote, working, live, so I don't know exactly if that's the best place. I don't have a strong opinion.
To be honest, Steve and I did a couple drafts together back in the day when he was at PFF and I was at SI.
Remember, I was there too. We'd stick Steve and Sam in that side room and go to them. It was like, all right, let's go to Steve and Sam for some real football information. It's going to us yucking it up.
While the rest of us talk about Laremy Tunsil's gas mask ball, an all-time great moment. Steve, okay, let's get to these draft prospects. Obviously, I mentioned Shedeur Sanders. Where he falls is the most interesting storyline to me in the draft. What is the best fit for him, though, as someone you've scouted him? Where do you think would be the most ideal place for him to go?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's more rumblings that the Saints aren't going to take him. They were the betting favorite for a while, and all the reports coming out of New Orleans that, you know, he's probably not going to be their guy at 9, which makes me think might be Pittsburgh that is the next logical option. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best fit for Shedeur Sanders. I think the biggest knocks on him are more physical, arm strength and ability to manipulate the pocket. And so I think because of that, I don't know if I want him in the AFC North and playing in Pittsburgh or having to play in Cleveland. And I think that was legitimate consideration for the Browns at 2, for the Giants at 3. Another not easy place to throw the ball. Pittsburgh at 21. But I think ultimately Pittsburgh just has such a desperate quarterback situation. And it's one of those, since Big Ben started to, you know, hit the decline, they didn't really have many good options and they have to keep taking swings. And I don't know, do you really want to wait on a half-retired Aaron Rodgers? Might be time to take that swing on a guy like Shedeur Sanders.
Steve, when you look at Shedeur Sanders, if the knock is arm strength, in recent NFL history, is that really that big of a deal for a quarterback to succeed?
No, and it's not even that that's the biggest knock. It's more that we've also seen, it's not about what he can do. It's what we've also seen recent quarterbacks who have hit this theoretical ceiling, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, not because of arm strength, but because of incredible physical tools. All these recent superstars, Mahomes, of course, these recent superstars have incredible physical skill sets. Now, that's coming off of a period of maybe, you know, Tom Brady and Drew Brees and, you know, Philip Rivers, guys who had fine physical skill sets, but they hit their ceilings, right? So I think we're just in this cycle in the NFL where the incredible athletic arm talent type of guys are hitting, and Shedeur Sanders just doesn't fall into that bucket.
Steve Palazzolo is joining us, 33rd Team. Check the Mic podcast on 33rd Team's podcast network. Okay, so for the physical traits, then, where my mind was going as you're giving that answer was Jalen Milroe. He seems like the guy, but is there a concern that, you know, he's played a lot more games than Anthony Richardson, but like Richardson was kind of the extreme example where he played 13 games in college and it's been a struggle and now Daniel Jones might take his job. Do you think that Milroe actually, you know, is he maybe secretly the guy that a lot of teams love or think that he could really be the steal of the draft because of those physical traits?
Yeah, he definitely has those traits. He also has the running ability, you know, that Milroe has. I think when you have a running quarterback like that, it raises the floor of the offense. I think a Justin Fields, like, it's really tough to lose only two games in a season with a Justin Fields because of his running ability. And so I think that, like, the Jets might have this high floor this year just because of Fields. I think Milroe is similar to that, and that's while you're hoping that the pass game develops. And let's just be honest with this. The risk or the hit rate on any of these quarterbacks is low because the standard is so high, right? I mean, we're going to go back and say, well, you missed on this and you missed on that. I mean, yeah, because everyone's looking for a top 8 to 12 quarterback, and there's only a handful of those guys in the league at any given time. So the standard is high. So teams might look at that and say, okay, well, if Jalen Milroe hits, we have a top 8 to 12 guy because he definitely has accuracy issues, but he can zip it, and he's got this high floor, I think, because of the running ability. You can build a running game around him. It's not necessarily how you want your quarterback to operate, is start with the run game and develop the pass game, but it is a way to win and create offense in today's NFL. So it takes a team to lean into that, I think, with Jalen Milroe while he's developing as a passer.
Steve, I know you're an expert on analytics. Wouldn't there be 8 to 12, top 8 to 12 quarterbacks specifically?
There's 8 to 12. Yeah. There's 8 to 12 at any given time.
That's, I think, right. If you're looking for a top 8 to 12 guy, you're probably going to have, instead of a hand, anyway, I'm just kidding. I know where you and Sam Monson, your Check the Mic partner, stand on Travis Hunter. Seems like you're leaning wide receiver primarily. How would that work? Say he goes number 2 to Cleveland. How would he work as a two-way player as far as packages and what a coach would see in him?
Yeah, I just think that many in the league have leaned into, I think he's a better receiver, and I think a lot of that has gone through, okay, that's where the market is going, where receivers are getting paid more than corners. I think I would still lean cornerback first and receiver second, because it is more challenging. It is a tough thing to say, okay, you're a full-time receiver, and then you're just part of our dime package, maybe, because the nickel package, your three cornerback sets are, you know, 60-70% of the defense, so... it is going to be a tricky balance trying to figure out how many snaps he could play. But look, I love this. I don't want to downplay this story at all. I don't think it's overplayed at all. Travis Hunter is special. It is a special story. The fact that he did it at the FBS level, at the Power 4 level, in Colorado, where the thin air, you know, should affect things. It is unbelievable, the story of Travis Hunter. And I don't want to be the guy that doubts him and says, oh, he can't play full two ways, can't play 140 snaps. I don't think it's likely, but I don't want to be the one to doubt him. So I think I would rather find a way to play corner first and then receiver second. It's just easier schematically, but I think a lot of teams do like him as a receiver.
Steve Palazzolo is joining us, 33rd Team. Ashton Jeanty, no matter where he goes, now Jacksonville now is up at 5, or maybe the Raiders. But, you know, Steve, it's going to be a couple months and all of your friends and everyone you know is going to be asking you, should I draft Jeanty number 1 in my fantasy draft? Do you think he's going to have that type of immediate impact?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about a running back getting drafted that high, especially from a fantasy perspective, he's going to get opportunities, even if he goes to the Raiders. And the Raiders had just an awful, awful running game last year. They were very inefficient. The run blocking wasn't good. The running backs were terrible. I think Jacksonville's offensive line is just okay. They've retooled it a little bit, but at best, we're looking at middle of the pack. But Genty's going to get opportunities. He's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get a lot of catch, receiving opportunities. He's going to play three downs. So I think from a fantasy perspective, for sure, I think he'll be productive. From a team building perspective, you have to ask the question, you know, as much as we want to have this narrative, well, Saquon Barkley put the Eagles over the top and Derrick Henry did this for the Ravens, and that's not reality. They left terrible situations and joined great situations. Yeah. And Barkley was the cherry on top of an already really good offense, at least from a talent perspective. So, I mean, that's the challenge, is for Ashton Genty, if he's going to come in and, you know, save the team like a Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry theoretically did. I don't know that that's going to happen. But I love Genty as a player, and there's a reason why he's seen as this blue chip running back prospect, just like a Bijan Robinson a couple of years ago.
Steve, is there a second tier quarterback that you've watched or you're hearing about that you're really excited about?
I always mention the name Dylan Gabriel. So, I mean, I really think, look, I think Jackson Dart's QB3, and I think QBs 3 through 9 all have something to build around from a developmental standpoint. You mentioned Milroe. I think he's in that bucket, the arm and the running ability. Will Howard just kind of balled out on this championship run. And Kyle McCord, I think, has a great arm and tools to work with. Dylan Gabriel's the guy for me, though. I think he does have a good arm. I think a lot of times short quarterbacks get pigeonholed into not having a great arm. But just like Baker Mayfield, probably zips it, you know, better than, you know, 80% of the league. I think Dylan Gabriel has enough arm, proven productive player across three different schools. I think his pocket movement is better than other guys in the class, including Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, guys ranked ahead of him. So I think Dylan Gabriel, if you can get over the height thing, which is a limitation, Dylan Gabriel's the guy that I would hope for in maybe a developmental type of role.
Steve Palazzolo with us for a few more minutes. 33rd team. I love the 33rd team. I'm a subscriber. I love everything on the website. It's fantastic. The podcast is dynamite. I want to ask you about two non-draft people, if you don't mind, Steve. People that keep coming up as topics on the show all the time, and I know our listeners are really interested. One is Brock Purdy. You mentioned that there, at any given time, you think there's 8 to 12, you know, top quarterbacks in the league. Do you put Purdy in there? Because we're all watching to see what his contract negotiation is going to look like. And I think Perloff and I disagree about, you know, if Purdy was out on the open market, what he would get, and just sort of his standing in the NFL, not just for the 49ers. What's your thought on Purdy?
For the record, I think there can be four top 10 quarterbacks sometimes, you know, that if it's a bad league,
right?
Yeah, at that time. So you never know. the Purdy one's interesting because I think Kyle Shanahan has over a decade of experience of elevating quarterbacks. Mm. And I think that's a legitimate data point. From, I mean, just go look up Matt Schaub's statistics, and they're unbelievable, and that's Shanahan and that scheme, and we know bringing Matt Ryan to the MVP and the RG3 rookie season, and look at Jimmy Garoppolo's statistical profile, and there's some analytics nerds like my friends that would say, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo's underrated, and it's like, no, you have to look at Kyle Shanahan. Mm. You have to look at the situation. I think all of that's true for Brock Purdy. I also think that Brock Purdy is probably the best Shanahan quarterback he's had since Matt Ryan in 2016 had otherworldly stats and won the MVP. So I think that's the tricky balance, right? Kyle Shanahan is not immune to bad quarterback decisions. They traded a haul for Trey Lance. So that's the balance I think they're trying to figure out. Do I want to go back to this? Hey, we got to go, like, what if they just drafted Shedeur Sanders at 11 and let Brock Purdy work? But do you want to live in that mystery box world again, or do you want to at least pay for what you know? And I think they can create high-level offense around Brock Purdy. I think they'll eventually get him paid. You want to probably pay him in the low 50s and closer to Tua money as that goes up and better quarterbacks are reaching 60. And I think that they'll be able to find this middle ground where you can acknowledge that Brock Purdy's stats are helped by the playmakers and Shanahan, but also he's a really good fit for what Kyle's doing.
The other quarterback I want to quickly ask you about, just from the numbers perspective, is Aaron Rodgers. So the numbers last year, if you just went with the counting stats, not terrible, you know, especially for the Jets, and it was a limited roster and coach got fired and all of that stuff. But you mentioned before in the interview, half retired Aaron Rodgers with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think that if he does commit him with Arthur Smith, like, what do you see from Rodgers still from a production standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I implore everybody to not just look at touchdown to interception ratio and say Rodgers still has it. I mean, the sack total was bad. The pocket movement was poor. game management, I think, was pretty bad for a guy that is supposed to be a veteran. The problem with Rodgers as a numbers person, it's less about the numbers, and it's more about, I mean, he brought all of his people. He brought his favorite players. He brought his offensive coordinator. And yeah, he doesn't play defense, but the whole team got worse. And that there is something to that, right? Like Tom Brady went everywhere and elevated everybody around him. That's just the truth. That's why he's the GOAT. Rodgers went there and the whole place, you know, what was terrible. And so that kind of matters, right? So I can make the case physically, he's fine. I mean, the guy throws, he can still zip it. He can make tight window throws. But they also didn't have a good offense that was creating open throws. And that was him, right? He was running this, I think, archaic-looking offense that was his doing. Right. So that's the challenge with Rodgers. I think it's everything that he brings with him, even though physically he could play. So if he can go to some place and play under a coach, whether it's Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, I think he could have success. I just don't know if he's ready to do that at this point in his career.
Steve, I want to hit you with a quick curveball. Maggie did not know this was coming. You are
Steve's a former pitcher.
Yeah, well, former minor league pitcher. That's, yeah. I was working.
I thought you didn't realize the pun. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we had a big topic a few weeks ago was Tom House, the famed arm guru, pitching coach and quarterback coach, said that a human pitcher could throw at 118 miles an hour. Now, I know you had a big arm. Do you buy that number? Maggie and I could not believe that. I think House said he already has a guy who hit 118. Is it possible for the human body to throw a fastball 118 miles per hour?
I had one working session with Tom way back. So I worked with him one time, had him on the podcast as well. But I'm going to have to say I don't believe that. I don't believe that he has somebody that's hit 118. I wouldn't be surprised. There's guys throwing 104, 105 now. It's becoming more and more common. There's probably some peak that we'll be able to hit, but 118 seems excessive. I think that's too much. I'm going to say no. I don't believe that.
What was your high?
Supposedly hit 96 one time, so we'll buy it. It was a kind of a juiced gun, and it was my friend of a friend, scout, told me. But I was 90 to 94 at my best, I would say, when I was knocking on the door of the big leagues.
As long as it was a juice gun, not a juice ball, because then it would probably land in the upper deck.
And you weren't juiced.
Steve, thanks so much for this. Absolutely love the pod. What's the plan for the rest of the week with you and Sam? What's your pod schedule and everything?
Yeah, Check the Mic is the podcast. We're going to be live all night Thursday. We're probably doing about 7 or 8 hours all night Friday. So the first 2 days, and then Saturday we'll recap the draft and then recap every team. Probably about 30 hours of coverage when it's all said and done on Check the Mic.
All right.
Wow.
I want to get some of that juice. Steve Palazzolo, you can listen to him, read him on the 33rd team. Again, fantastic website. I'm a huge fan. I'm a subscriber. It's free. Love it all. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Okay, we've got lots more to do. Want to react to that. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Brock Purdy and his future. And also, we do have to update a story that at one point, not too long ago, was very, very hot topic on this show, and we get a resolution. So how about that? We'll do it next, M&P.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. It's funny, Maggie and I both heard what we want to hear out of the Steve Palazzolo interview.
Which you can get, by the way, on the Maggie and Perloff podcast or the rewind function on the Free Odyssey app.
So Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team, formerly Pro Football Focus, was talking about how there's been a recent trend of quarterbacks to be big and physical. The league is different. Quarterbacks run. You can't ignore that. The rules help it. It has just completely changed the way they draft quarterbacks over a 25-year span. Right. So that's why when I think teams are looking at Shedeur Sanders, it's not a no-brainer that he's a high first-rounder, even though he had great success at Colorado. They're looking for some form of Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
Right, and I said, well, but they just drafted Bryce Young number one overall, the league, saying.
And
Bryce Young.
Regret that.
Well, I'm just saying that he did go number one when C.J. Stroud was sitting there, built more like a house, and he was sitting right there, too.
C.J. Stroud's built like Nico.
Okay.
He's not built like a house at all.
Bryce Young is built like Nico. Kyler Murray went one overall. Baker Mayfield went one overall. I'm just talking about the guys who go number one. I think that does everyone want their quarterback to look like Justin Herbert? In a perfect world, absolutely. But we see people make exceptions all the time for smaller quarterbacks.
Right, but I think you look at the playoffs and it's your final four was Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Jaden Daniels. All of them very, very mobile, like all-time mobile. I know Mahomes doesn't run forward a lot, but he's one of the great moving quarterbacks. So I do think that you really want to take that into account now. You can't have the Eli Manning. I mean, you can, but that's not what leagues are looking at right now. They're looking for running guys.
Yeah, Shador's not a runner necessarily, but he also can move around.
But that seems to be the knock, though. Fair or not, it does seem to be like, because this whole spring, we've been looking for downsides on Shedeur. It's that he doesn't run like Jaden Daniels. Like Cam Ward can move pretty good, too.
Yeah, I think if it was just, you're right. I think if it was just about running ability, though, why wouldn't Jalen Milroe be a slam dunk first round pick?
Because he had 16 touchdowns and 11 picks and missed all sorts of short, because he's not a developed passer. I mean, they're looking for both. Again, I'm saying looking for. I'm not saying it's easy to find Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I'm just saying that's ideally what you're looking for, I think. But sometimes there are exceptions. Bryce Young, I think the only reason Bryce Young went that high is because he was such a good mover at Alabama. He could get out of every situation. He was a magician. It turned out it's been harder to do in the pros. So we'll see. Again, and by the way, the height, Tyler Shuck, if he goes high, then it's back to my height theory. They like height. It's good to be tall. Like me.
Let's go to Derek, who's in Baltimore, wants to weigh in on the Brock Purdy conversation we were having about, is Brock only valuable to San Francisco or is he valuable as a quarterback? Derek, what do you think about Brock?
So, great show. Perloff, we got words, brother.
Look, Derek, here. What?
Listen, I'm not understanding why is it that when all the other quarterbacks come up, they get their money. But now that it's Brock, it's he doesn't deserve it. He wouldn't be this good on any other team. When Dak, Tua, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence got their deal.
Well, let me, Derek, happened? What happened to the teams after all four of those deals?
I get that, but listen, what other teams would have paid them that money? Who was going to pay Trevor Lawrence $55 million when he got his deal?
Well, I was going to say, the one guy out of that group that people would pay would be Trevor Lawrence.
No, he sucks.
I know the reality is, but the idea of Trevor Lawrence is still worth a lot around the NFL.
And Perloff, I'm a rebuttal your other thing about Brock. He wasn't that good last year when the Avengers got hurt. You're a Philly fan, correct?
Yep.
You honestly think your guys are sniffing the Super Bowl and Hurts is that good without his Avengers?
No.
There's not a chance, and you know what? Let's just say that this season, Saquon, Devontae, and AJ, let's just say they all miss 6, 7, 8 games, a bunch of games. That offense does not look anywhere near the same.
No.
What are these quarterbacks doing that Brock isn't doing? And I'm going to throw another name at you, and I'm in a minority, and I get a lot of backlash. I don't care. What has Burrow done that Brock has not done? This man has been in the league 5 seasons. He's missed the playoffs 3 times. You're telling me that, but yet he's so great. He deserves all this money. Listen, the quarterback market suggests that when you have your quarterback, who you deem as your franchise quarterback, the market value is 50+.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't Brock come up? Why is it now we want to lowball him when we're seeing Sam Darnold and Geno Smith? Come on, man, stop it.
I'm with you, and I was generally with you. I was behind you, like, yeah, go, get Perloff. Yes, until you did the Joe Burrow thing. Thank you for the call. I'm with you on paying Purdy, and I think that if Purdy hit the open market, just like Derek said, you saw Sam Darnold, you know, he didn't get $50 million, but he was in demand. Geno is in demand. You know, these guys are going to get pushed up in this draft who have no business being drafted even in the second round are probably going to get pushed up. There is a demand, and I think Brock, you know, would be one of those guys that would be in the $50 million range. If Dak Prescott's getting 60, why is Brock not getting 50?
Because Dak Prescott's a mistake.
Oh, well.
Also, too, I mean, Dak Prescott has more value to other teams than Brock Purdy, I think. A healthy, younger Dak Prescott was, I would argue, a little more elite than
But Dak Brock got Purdy. That $60 million at 31.
So yeah, I mean, that was a...
This is the market. This is what it's been set.
I don't think other teams want Brock Purdy. I really don't. I think they think he's small, injury prone. I don't think they think that he can do what he does with San Francisco and another team. I guess I'm being shallow. I'm just looking at the guy. Maybe I have some draft bias. I will admit. Maybe it's because he was Mr. Irrelevant. Maybe because he doesn't, you know, what does he do? He doesn't have a huge arm. He doesn't run that well. He's pretty mobile, but he's not a great runner. What is it that's so special about him? Describe what makes him so great.
Well, I think that he distributes the ball and gets it where it needs to go when guys are healthy. But hold on 1 second. There was another thing, Manny. I want you to put this on the poll if you can. I'm sorry. This is we're 2 days out from the draft, and I had not yet heard. Steve Palazzolo said it. You've been saying it actually recently. I had no idea there were questions about Shador playing in cold weather. The guy played at Colorado. He wasn't playing at LSU and Ole Miss and Arizona and these places that are just like so hot. Miami. You know, he's playing in Boulder, Colorado in November and early December. Do you guys think it's balmy there? It's 19 degrees. They're playing night games. It's 25 degrees. I just don't. And Kaplan, who works with us, is a Boulder alum. I think that proves you can play in the cold if you played at Boulder. Am I crazy?
Well, I don't know. He just doesn't feel like a Steelers quarterback. He's not big. You know, the classic guy, Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger. Then they actually had some other
Slash, though.
but they didn't keep him for that long.
I know.
I think Slash was a little more physical than a little more physical than Shador too. Obviously, he played multiple positions. I just don't think, listen, it gets cold. Like, you really need, Tom Brady was gigantic. He's huge. That helped in New England. Like, it does matter. Playing outside is not a joke. Look, Lamar Jackson is 100% has an issue with the cold weather. There's no doubt about it. Like, you need certain kind of guy to win in the postseason. I think it's a big deal. I think you're putting your head in the sand if you ignore player size and cold weather.
Okay, we were talking to Andrew Filippone last week, who hosts a show in Pittsburgh. We were talking about all-time, like, Mount Rushmore Pittsburgh athletes.
Right.
Right? And who was the football one that he put up there?
Troy Polamalu.
Yep. He's from
Monster.
Garden Grove, California, and played at USC.
Yeah. Yep.
Cold is a state of mind. Either you can play in it or you can't.
Yeah, but he didn't have to put his hands on the ball. So he's a safety.
Okay.
Maggie, I'll back you up a little here.
What's that?
Last home game for Colorado this past season. Hi. Sorry. It's Oklahoma State, so fine.
They yeah, I saw year. It. I looked 52 up the weather.
52-0. You did? Okay, yeah. I did as well.
It was like the did high was 48. Yeah. It was
I'm seeing 36 here.
36
and
the low was 19.
And he threw for 438 yards.
How many in two seasons of Colorado, how many games do you think he played below 32?
That I don't know.
But you could say that about anyone playing in the cold. Like, even Ohio State, it might not get that cold until, way, way later in November because of global warming and such. But nobody questions whether, Will Howard could play in the cold or Ryan Leonard.
Because Will Howard's gigantic. He's huge. He's the biggest quarterback in this draft. So, I think this is quite obvious. Like, you wouldn't want Bryce Young in Pittsburgh. And Shador is just not big. I think he's 6'1 and a half. What he weighed at the combine. There were questions. He walked by us on the Super Bowl. He's very average.
I just saw Baker
size.
Mayfield playing Cleveland.
I was just going to reference
it
him.
No one ever brought up the weather.
Mayfield's a little stouter than Shador. You know what I mean? He's like thick. He's like a fire hydrant. And also, Baker didn't really work out in Cleveland, but that's not besides the point.
Won their last playoff game.
Yeah, but do you think Baker worked out in Cleveland?
Wasn't that against the Steelers?
It was actually in Pittsburgh.
And they rolled them.
I think that, I guess I'm just saying, I think that when you go and play at Colorado, a guy was from, grew up in Texas, right? In Shador, and then played at Jackson State. I think when you go to Colorado and you excel, that shuts the door on you whether or not you can play in cold weather. And believe me, I think about it all the time. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. It's not just for the quarterbacks. I think about it. I was like, man, can James Cook? He's kind of from the South. Like, how's he going to do with a running back holding the ball? They're fine. Either they're good or they're terrible. Marcel Darius was a freaking house. Huge. I don't think he could play in the cold as a defensive tackle. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to it.
Well, for the Steelers, too, they generally, historically, their offense is the quarterback holds on the ball and they go for long passes. Part of the Steelers' DNA. It's been there forever. So you need a bigger guy. You can't have a small guy standing in the pocket for 4 seconds while DK Metcalf and George Pickens run downfield. I mean, listen, they had Russell, who's tiny. I don't think they loved it. he actually threw a pretty good deep ball. But generally, I don't know. I guess I'm a Big Ben nostalgia. I don't love the fit of Shador with Pittsburgh for several reasons. I think that Pittsburgh's roster kind of stinks. And they're anciently old. So what are you going to build around Shador here? I think there are other teams who would fit Shador much better. I think Shador would be great in Vegas, Arizona, Miami. Get him to a warm weather where he could just carve it up. He's much closer to Drew Brees to me. Like, in fact, he reminds me a little bit of Drew Brees. I don't know why. I guess they're not exactly physically the same. He's a little taller than Drew, but I think he could be a high volume Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, that kind of quarterback.
Do you have questions about whether Shador Sanders can succeed in cold weather? 888-710-4ISN. CeeLo's got more for us. Busy day.
Yeah, some leftover stuff we haven't gotten to. We've done a lot on the basketball games from last night with the road teams evening their first round series, both the Pistons winning at the Knicks and then the Clippers winning at the Nuggets last night. But I'm going to actually take you back to Sunday and the NBA on TNT studio coverage when Billy Ray Bates happened to come up on air.
DeAndre Hunter did not score off the Cleveland bench.
Billy Ray Bates was built like a truck. Yeah, I wonder if he's still alive. This is a fair question.
No, but not on national television.
Yeah, not unless you
under your breath.
Not unless you know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
I know.
Don't say that.
You do not need to ask a question.
I'm sorry to hear that. Unfortunately,
He passed away. Thank you, Shaq.
All right, so Charles asked the question, and it felt like Shaq kind of just parachuted in there to give the answer, whether he actually knew the answer or not. And it turns out it wasn't accurate. So last night, poor Ernie Johnson had to account for that error.
We would like to issue a correction and an apology for something that happened last night on Inside the NBA. No. We were talking about Billy Ray Bates, who back in 1980 had one of the NBA's best playoff debuts coming off the bench with 29 points. In the course of our discussion, we passed on some bad information that Billy Ray Bates had passed away. While it was inadvertent, it was also inaccurate and insensitive and inexcusable. In short, we screwed up, and we apologize to Billy Ray Bates and his family.
Suppose it's better that, you know, going the other way where they thought he was alive and he actually had passed.
No, this way is way worse.
All right. Well, I'm saying good for Billy Ray Bates. He's still on this earth.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, no, this is one of the cardinal sins you cannot do. You can't inadvertently, you know, accidentally
kill somebody.
Yeah. You can speculate and then look it up real quick.
Yeah. Sure.
But I still feel like, shouldn't Shaq have had to do that apology there, not Ernie?
Yeah, I think Shaq does what he wants, which we're about to find out in this next clip.
By the way, at Dan Patrick's show, Todd Fritz, our show booker, once, the worst is, called Sugar Ray Robinson to see if he could come on the show. It was a big boxing story. Turned out he had died 3 years before. His wife's like, I'm sorry he passed away. That's the worst. So I think I think you have it wrong. I think it's worse to assume a guy is alive and he turns out to be dead and call his wife.
No, I think the calling the wife is the bad part. Fritz didn't want to Google that?
Yeah.
You know, it was the early days of the internet, I guess. I don't know. It was 2000s when he was working for Dad at ESPN. Well, I could get that.
Did you guys cut to commercial right afterwards? Because that's what Inside the NBA did right after they issued this apology. EJ does the apology and they swiftly go to commercials.
Oh, you got to fade to black right there.
Yeah.
You can't follow it up. Don't make it worse.
Wait, I'm sorry. I understand this says it, but does anybody care about that? Like that they misidentified the life status of Billy Ray Bates? I've never heard of Billy Ray Bates.
Yeah, well. Either at Shaq or Chuck.
Right.
Well, they acted like they knew who he was.
Shaq decided he had died, though. So, on the lighter side of things, with that same crew, here was Kenny mid-sentence last night when Shaq abruptly got up and left the studio. Hello.
To estimate the other thing about Kawhi is, you know, what I...
You all right, big fella?
You know, catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. We're on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know. Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it.
After
40, you can't hold it.
That's a first.
And then they panned
That
was on air. And then they actually shot to another camera angle of him exiting this, like through the door.
He's still mic'd up, though.
He was mic'd up. And then they even referenced at some point. I forget.
He never turned off his mic?
They said, let's make sure we turn off the mic.
Yeah, but we don't need a further
further discussion on what might have been happening.
Hey, listen, he was in the back talking about he's going to drink alcohol to clear up his
gut. No, he's been drinking the olive oil.
You know what?
I did not like his gait as he left.
And the way he was walking, you would have thought maybe it was
a more dire
situation. Yeah. But Shaq did return a short time later to clear things up.
Oh, here he is. So.
I've seen that face before.
Serious look.
I can feel
and then, it.
Now he's lifting. There was the gate.
Oh,
there was
like number one, drinking that water.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listen, man.
Drinking that water.
Drinking that water, huh?
Chuck, stop talking so damn much.
What you mean?
Finish your points so we can go to break.
We're waiting on you, fool!
I'm sitting here like, shut the hell up and hurry up.
Anyway.
Sorry about that, America. Number one.
And he's back. There you go. Didn't kill anyone off that time, which is nice.
I mean, what a moment, and that's something.
Yes, I can't believe he said bring a match or light a match on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. First thing they said, are you catching a crap?
Yeah.
I thought he said cramp.
That's
cramp.
What I actually said in his ear.
Right. Like, my bad. He did say
cramp. He said cramp.
Yeah. Wait, what sounded like crap?
I heard cramp.
Yeah. Also, I did not hear saying. Cramp. Are you catching a cramp?
What is catching a cramp?
No, you're right.
He didn't say catching a cramp.
He did. Here.
We would like to issue.
No, that's not. Estimate the
other
thing about Kawhi.
Hang on.
Is, you know, what I...
You all right, big fella?
No. Catching a cramp?
Yeah,
cramp.
It's cramp. He just didn't hit he didn't hit the MP.
Got it.
Like you guys here, M and P.
Cramp.
Boy. Yeah, cramp, not the other one. My bad. Sorry about
that. That would be such a horrible saying. I don't want that to get into lexicon. It's like,
got you a cramp.
No, the other thing.
Gotcha. Right. Wait, let me ask you a question. How is this going to work at ESPN? I guess they have McAfee who curses up a storm.
Oh my gosh. Did you see yesterday what happened on the McAfee show? If you are, someone else is producing it, and ESPN is just running it, their hands off.
Yeah, right. That's an important point.
Shannon Sharp, this really serious thing that he's getting sued, and for a lot of things. Very, sexual assault. Really serious stuff for Shannon. They made jokes about it on the show. I mean,
well, it was Paul Heyman, though.
Paul Heyman, right? He was a guest on the show. But you're kind of responsible for your guests, say, to some degree, are you not?
He's a manager of a fake sport. What are you talking about? It's not like he had a... I mean, that's wrestling, though. I think the rules change when you have a pro wrestler. You're the major sports network, and you're covering a fake sport, then it's a totally different thing.
McAfee looked very uncomfortable as Heyman.
I can never tell what's real on that show. They kind of play in the gray area, but it's...
referencing some of the stuff he said off the air to him about Stephen A. Smith and whether it was real or not on ESPN's airwaves.
But see, that's the whole thing. Listen, Paul Heyman is like a famous yacker and, he lives that character, but...
Baseball writer, right? established that yesterday.
No, I've met Paul Heyman. And he does seem to kind of embody this thing, but it also is incumbent on the host to say, we're not going down that road if you really didn't want to. But McAfee doesn't ever really not want to. No. He allows everyone else like Rogers and all these other people to be provocateurs, and he just plays the, I'm just here as the innocent bystander host. And he's gotten away with it so far. I mean, to use a woman's like rape allegation as a punchline is definitely a choice, but I don't think ESPN's going to do anything about it. And Shannon's going to be on TV today, and everyone moves on.
I have a question about the TNT Inside the NBA. Will that be produced? Will it continue to be in Atlanta, like the same exact thing, or does ESPN actually try to get their hands in? Because I think that's a key distinction that you make.
No doubt.
If it's just delivered to them, then fine. But they have those brutal commercial breaks where the guys only get 30 seconds. I wonder what's going to happen to the show.
Yeah, I imagine the commercial breaks will have to be a little more formatted because ESPN, I'm assuming, is selling the show.
Right.
But Charles has a production company. At least this is what I get from his interviews on Dan Patrick's show, that he's been kind of laying this out. He is a production company. And his whole thing is, I want to keep my people employed. So I think he's taking a lot of people who were employed by TNT, at Turner, and they're creating a new show. So I don't think
he's producing the show?
Yeah, I believe that he's the production company.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. Because here, I don't think they would use that studio because that's going to be the Turner studio.
Right. Well, I was wondering, do they stay on Techwood Drive?
I don't know.
That'd be smart if they just... Everybody used common sense. Yeah, I mean, let's just say, I know this is, you're right, it's Turner, but like one off, it's just such a comfortable, that's part of the thing, being in that comfortable home. We're talking about Kenny sprinting back to the backboard.
Yeah, I mean, you can Shaq recreate it.
Shaq knows where the bathrooms are, which is critical.
I mean, the other thing too is like McAfee's in Indianapolis, so they built him a studio.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you could recreate it, but it feels like they are more vulnerable. They're a little more high profile than McAfee. McAfee's on from 12 to 3 in the afternoon, where I think... there's going to be a lot of eyes on Charles Barkley when he gets to ESPN.
You guys want to take a stab at Charles Barkley's production company name?
Round Mound Productions?
That's right.
Did you know, or were you just guessing?
Guessing.
Oh, love it.
By the way, it is a partnership with TNT and the NBA. Except when the show goes on the road, TNT Sports will continue to independently produce Inside the NBA from its Atlanta-based studios over the term of the agreement.
It'll
air on ESPN and ABC. But
Turner is actually
going to
TNT.
Oh, so they are doing it.
I thought that was just at the end of the year. That's moving. That's
it
after?
It says starting with the 2025-26 season.
Oh, okay. Stand corrected. I thought it was Charles's production company.
I mean, maybe they're involved to some extent with TNT.
So that's good.
But it's still in Atlanta at those studios. Yeah, except when they go on the road.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Well, then nothing's going to change. More bathroom breaks.
Yes.
More mistakenly
killing off people that are not dead. Yeah.
Billy Ray Bates.
Shaq was so certain, too.
Yeah, he passed away.
Billy Ray Bates just fell on some really hard times and ended up incarcerated at one point, but wrote an autobiography called Born to Play Basketball in pencil, 714 pages on yellow legal paper front to back while he was incarcerated.
Hopefully they... when they put that into print, they took it out of the pencil on the yellow legal pad.
Yeah,
I'd
but
imagine.
That's how he wrote it.
Good job out of him. Well, that'd be a unique way to put the book out there.
Kind of. Might have a good idea there. Yeah. CeeLo, thank you so much. Great job today. Coming up again.
Publishing company for CeeLo.
A big point of contention on this show for many, many weeks. We got a resolution on it yesterday, so we'll tell you about that next. Welcome back. Maggie.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Great, Andrew Perloff. All right, we had been talking about it for weeks. So really, Perloff, you were kind of keeping this one alive.
Yeah, trying.
More than any of us. And it was, will he, won't he, Cooper Flagg declaring for the NBA draft. We all thought this was a no-brainer, but you were hanging on to him possibly going back to Duke.
Yeah, took a stab at a hot take. I mean, I said if he doesn't win the title, it's important to him to win the title. And he's got a crazy NIL deal, so he might come back to Duke. I realized when Con Knipple went pro, I'm like, oh, well, that's that. But then over the weekend, there was a picture of him at spring practice wearing a Duke uniform, dunking the ball between his legs, by the way, pretty sick. But I'm like, okay, maybe it's happening. But there was an important note in that.
What's that?
He was wearing New Balance sneakers.
Yeah.
Duke is a Nike school. He's already signed with New Balance for his pro career. That's a known fact. So he wouldn't be wearing New Balances if he was going back to Duke. Mm. So the internet sleuths are like, oh, this is just he was working out with the team. It doesn't mean anything. But it was a little weird that they put that out. Cooper Flagg, he let it last a little longer. I mean, Dylan Harper's been in the draft for about a month and a half.
Because he didn't go to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. He had nothing else to do. I love that the New Balance sneakers was the dead giveaway, not the Cooper Flagg is certainly the best player in college basketball. He's obviously going number one.
But why was he working out in a Duke jersey at the spring practice this weekend?
Because he called being playing at Duke the best year of his life, so much gratitude, et cetera, et cetera. The brotherhood.
I heard an interesting take off of this, a bigger picture. Does this mean NIL's not working because nobody's staying in college for basketball? Football guys have probably stayed a little bit. Armando Bacot did stay, but the fact that they can't even with possibly, who knows, $11 million next year. They couldn't keep Cooper Flagg. Does that mean NIL is not hitting its purpose?
I just think it does. It still pales in comparison to what you make in the NBA.
Yeah, the NBA second contract.
Yeah, the second contract with the NBA, just to get the clock ticking on that. And by the way, you can still, he still gets the New Balance deal, whether he's making more at the NBA or with Duke. Like, it's all cherry on top.
He's going to be fine. But, and the other thing too is, now that my Sixers have an 11% chance.
Here we go.
Let's go, Cooper Flagg.
I really need that pick to fall out of your protection and it goes to the Thunder.
Okay. Have you guys heard this one floated? I forgot who said this yesterday. Was it someone? Windhorse? I don't remember. Somebody even floated the idea. It's just in the universe now. What if somehow Dallas gets it?
Oh, we talked about it on the show, I think.
There's no possible way. And you guys know I think that the NBA draft lottery is all rigged, obviously. Because I think how could a multi-billion dollar business, are they really leaving this big decision to chance and to ping pong balls? I don't think so. That I can't wrap my brain around that. But there's no way that they would reward the Mavericks, right? Yeah.
Should I hit the sim lottery?
Dallas has a 1% chance, though. So that's not good.
How about Portland going up 9 spots? Does that tickle you guys?
No.
I mean, Portland would be awesome. I want Portland to be as relevant as humanly possible.
Yeah, all right. So you think, Maggie, that every lottery is fixed. So yeah. I need you, based on that, and you, in my opinion, I do critique you, that you look back on it and say, well, of course it was fixed like that. You need to call the team that they're going to put number one, and you need to stick with it.
Yeah, not Dallas this year. You can't do
Dallas
that.
Dallas is a 1% chance.
And not your 76ers.
Just simmed it for the fourth time, and we just got Dallas at number one, so...
1% chance.
I mean, your top five odds, double digit odds, Utah, Washington, Charlotte, New Orleans, Philadelphia. No thanks. Not good. Bad. Worse. Sixers. Let's go.
Yeah, not everyone's rooting for the Sixers like that to get bailed out of some all-time horrible contracts. We don't want Daryl Morey to just get this redo.
It is a set of unremarkable markets that could get Cooper Flagg. And by the way, we don't even know if Cooper Flagg's going to be that good.
I'm thinking it's probably... I want to reserve the right to change this, but if you're just telling me
you don't have to stick to this.
Utah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the NBA has always wanted to get their biggest stars to Salt Lake City. That's just where the market... Why Utah? The owner is aggressive?
I think they would...
Because they have the best lottery odds? Worst team?
No, I think that there's more to it than that. Selling stars, there's a lot there.
Utah?
Manny Rodriguez. Utah. Yeah.
I think they could win.
When I was growing up, Utah was a big deal.
Utah is the smallest market in all of pro sports.
Perfect. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Nico Scarlotos, thank you to CeeLo and to Andrew Kaplan and to the Weedos, the coffee drinkers, Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team. We'll see you tomorrow.